to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Just north of Vegreville, the Imus plant is turning mountains of manure into puffs of methane, and that could very well signal the future of power production across rural Alberta, if not Canada. The Integrated Manure Utilization System is a pilot project developed by the Alberta Research Council in cooperation with Highland Feeders, and also the funding support of several provincial and federal agencies. And they were all on hand for the grand opening of the biogas plant. This story coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. With millions of cattle in Alberta, manure management is a critical issue. There's only so much land spreading you can do. Concerns over pathogens like E. coli, as well as excess nutrients getting into our water sources, are very real. And then there's the greenhouse gas effect of all those methane-producing gastrointestinal burps going into the atmosphere. After all, it's not very practical to put a cork in every cow, as some people have suggested. However, if you could harness the methane, then you could use the gas to generate electricity. A chance conversation between Dr. Xiaomei Li of the Alberta Research Council and feedlot operator Mike Katelko soon got those inventive wheels turning. And after 5 years of trials and tribulations, this spring, the two collaborators were on hand for the grand opening of the Integrated Manure Utilization System biogas plant at Highland Feeders just north of Vegreville. Standing beside the two large domed biogas digesters, I asked Mike Katelko why he got involved with IMUS.
Well, for over 15 years, since we've really got to be considerable size as a feedlot, manure management issues have been high on our priority, and coexisting with our neighbors and trying to be environmentally sustainable and still be able to grow as an industry. So it's a very important issue for us.
Now, where we're standing now is on your feedlot, and we're also looking at the finished product, which is these two big towers over here. What exactly is happening?
Well, we're taking high solid manure from our outdoor feedlot pens, running it through a pretreatment to extract rocks and foreign material. We add hot water to slurry it and bring it up to optimal temperature for digestion, pump it into the big tanks, and then biology takes over from there. Converts the carbon into methane gas. The methane gas is collected to generate electricity and heat, and the remaining high nutrient product is separated for solids and liquids. Liquids are then treated to extract phosphorus and ammonia, and we use those nutrients back in our fiber product, so we end up with a bunch of high-value products from something that has environmental concerns and issues that that we can add more value to.
And you're also exporting electricity.
Yes. Between the plant and the feedlot, we use about 30 to 40% of the power. The rest goes on to the Alberta Power Pool grid, where we generate revenue from that as well.
Now, just looking at these two towers, they have domes on top, and they're also black, and they're covered with styrofoam. Why is that?
Well, the styrofoam on the exterior of the tanks is for heat retention. The domes are a rubber material that expand with our pressures in the digesters. It's a very low pressure system. We're talking a fraction of a PSI. And so it's a very safe process to operate. But, we do need to take some safety precautions for human safety and operations and so on. But very safe process and so on.
How much does it cost you?
Well, we have about $6.5 million in capital invested in this plant. It's an R&D project with a high level of automation and instrumentation, and we've had some significant funding contributors to help us out with those capital costs and mitigate some of the risks.
What have been some of the problems that you've had to deal with?
Well, material handling issues. We knew right from the onset were going to be the big issue. Nobody has really handled a high volume of this type of material dealing in logistics of a feedlot where you've got foreign objects and, there's a lot of things to consider there. So those are the biggest challenges and they remain to be the biggest opportunities for improved efficiency.
Now, one of the things I've noticed is that you have the towers actually above ground rather than below ground. Why is that?
Well, accessibility. And through our engineering process, we determined that we were going to be able to have very good heat retention in the system. In some applications, it might make sense in the ground, but this is a pilot project, and we need easy access to all facets of the process.
Now, I noticed when we were driving in that pretty well all your pens are filled. How many cattle do you have here?
Well, right now, about 33,000 head in the feedlot. We have a capacity for 36,000. And so basically, we're right full here.
What lies ahead for you now?
Well, first of all, the feedlot, keep that operating viable and meeting a high standard of economic and environmental sustainability. And for the Highmark project, we think that there's a great opportunity here in North America. This industry is in its infancy. And as energy values rise, consumers' awareness of greenhouse gas issues and the opportunity to use high-quality bio products and fertilizers, I think these will all contribute to economic viability in this industry.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
That was Mike Kotelko, Vice President of Highland Feeders and Project Advisor to Highmark Renewables, the sister company that will market the IMAS byproducts. The scientist responsible for leading this biogas project is Dr. Xiaomei Li. Xiaomei is with the Alberta Research Council.
I guess probably you noticed that we started officially building this end of 2003. Right now, our major part is here. We'd like to bring all stakeholders, potential industry partners come here, look at the.
Is there still more to be done to finish the construction?
Yeah, there's the last module for the fertilizer production site that we'd like to put on. And plus, right now, still we're in the debugging mode. We continue to changing things and learning things.
What's the technology involved here?
Basically, a simple way to describe is we put a manure and in a slurry phase, put in anaerobic digester where natural microbe can break down to the organic material to form the methane and the CO2. Those two gas together we referred as a biogas. Then we feed that biogas to the cogen system, generate electricity and heat. This part normally people refer as biogas technology. And another part of this technology also have is we're dealing with the material after anaerobic digester, which is in a slurry phase. We separate solid from liquid, and lots of nutrients staying in the liquid phase, which is really readily available nutrients for plant growth. We recover that nutrient and the nutrients, put it back with the solid that we form the bio-based fertilizer, and then we recycle water.
And you also have energy or electricity coming off of that.
Oh, yeah. Basically, you have input raw manure, which is a typical bedding manure, the cattle manure bed with the straw. Put that in, you come out electricity and heat, bio-based fertilizer, and water for land irrigation.
How long does it take the manure to go through?
Oh, yeah, relative term that we used about 14 days, we so-called 14 days of retention.
What's different or unique about the process that you have here, say, compared to some other facilities?
I think a simple way to say that is first we're dealing with the solid manure. Based on our knowledge, there's nothing existing in the North America, probably in the world yet. And Mike and Earl, our engineer, just went to Europe and toured quite a few facilities. None of them dealing with a similar manure. That's the first challenge for us, dealing with this solid manure, particularly mixed with the straw, make things really interesting or challenging, whatever you call it. That's the first one that's different from others. Second one, the main important ones, we have nutrient recovery. This will allow us to utilize the full kind of value of a manure. Basically, you have carbon's energy and the nutrients and water you recycle back. Yeah.
Well, you've been the research scientist involved in getting this all off the ground, and you're the one who's had to solve all the problems. What have been some of the problems, and how did they make you sort of scratch your head?
I guess I love to take full credit for that, but in reality, I'm not the only one working on that. I have really dedicated scientists and engineers working as a team to do that. We have a chemical process engineer, mechanical engineer, microbiologist, soil scientist, all kinds of people working together to solve this problem, because it's not a simple discipline can tackle this issue. You need the whole the group people dealing with it. Plus, we have really knowledgeable feedlot operators to help this in the place. And there's lots of, I won't say not difficult, but it's a challenge. Nutrient recovery is not that easy to do, but we had fun. And also, we called it here, you call it the ARC hopper. This itself designs all kinds of a challenge. To find a really suitable equipment to do that is not easy. We had all kinds of fun to work, or I called it the growing pain. Something break down, we find another one, design a different one to deal with the problem.
Do you still have some problems outstanding that you have to solve?
I want to see the outstanding, but it can be better. We certainly want to increase our gas production and make sure all our pumping equipment is up to the speed that we want. And a last module we have to build there as well, like a fertilizer production part.
Is this the sort of thing where it has to be working at full capacity? Right now there's 33,000 head of cattle on the feedlot, but say something happened and there was only half that.
The current this system only dealing about 25% of their capacity. But in the full size, we like to scale up, but we'll be dealing with 24,000 head capacity. Probably that's maximum you want to go. You don't want to be full 36,000 head capacity, like you said, if anything happened. But in the reality, in this feedlot, typically last 20 years, they've been able to maintain that above 90% of their capacity. That's what kind of level you have to watch out. You don't want to build the facility have dealing with the full capacity. If anything happens, you don't have waste put in or waste manure put in anymore. That could be a challenge.
What do you see as being the potential for this technology?
I think this technology have a great potential. Our immediate area we're working on towards is that we want to adapt this technology to be able to treat food processing waste and dead livestock, one of our urgent issues in Alberta, and the rendering material, other waste related with agriculture production, and the municipal waste. I really want to see in the next few years we'll be able to build a 10 to 20 this kind of system in across Alberta.
As a scientist and a researcher, what has it meant to you working on this project?
That's a really good question. Lots of it. I guess all my work in with Alberta Environment Center started with and then Alberta Research Council, where I'm working on more applied research, try to develop a solution or technology to solve the industry's problem. This one is one of the typical one. I think we have great potential to solve livestock industry's problem or add value to their current operation. Like I use Mike's word, manure. The value of a manure is just next to the beef. You can see there's lots of value of it. It's exciting and rewarding.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Xiaomei Li, lead scientist on developing the integrated manure utilization system for the Alberta Research Council. Also at the IMUS opening was Alan Hall. Alan is the managing director of the Alberta Agricultural Research Institute. He believes IMUS will go a long way towards solving many of the problems facing Alberta's cattle and feedlot industry.
Potentially huge, and huge in two or three ways. Normally farmers have looked at manure and Albertans have looked at manure as something that just sort of, what do we do with it? Well, let's go put it out on the land. This is an attempt to try and capture some value from that. And so what we're seeing here today is, yes, we'll generate electricity and sell electricity and thereby we'll make some money out of the manure. But looking ahead, there's other products that could be developed. There could be fiber materials, making their way into the landscaping business. There could be materials built for construction materials. There could be some maybe precious metals that are extracted from some of the residual materials. So there's a lot of other uses that will evolve over the next 3, 4, or 5 years, and all of that turns into some economic opportunity, it turns into some business, it turns into products that you and I are going to use as consumers. From what used to be something that was wasted and thrown away, now it's all of a sudden becoming a value. The other aspect is the livestock industry in Alberta. One of the restrictions on the growth of the livestock industry is what do we do with the manure management issues on nutrient loading on land and nutrients making their way into our water streams and odor issues, those types of things. This technology resolves a lot of those issues.
What part has the Alberta Agricultural Research Institute played in this project?
We've played a minor funding role in the project. Our focus on our investments are more on the research side as opposed to the commercial development side. So some of the funding that we've flowed in here has gone into some of the early stage research that has led to what we're seeing here today.
What do you think have been some of the problems from a technological point of view that have had to be overcome?
My sense would be two or three. One was certainly, how do we deal with cold weather? There's been incidents in the past of where similar types of ventures, they freeze up in the wintertime. Well, that's not so good. So how do we deal with the cold weather? A second technological barrier was, how do we deal with a drier feedstock? This is working on feedlot manure, which is a higher solid content, a lower water content than the liquid manures that typically would come out of the hog barns. And most of the European technology is based on liquid manures, so 5-10% organic matter, 90-95% water. This one's trying to work at about maybe a two-thirds water, one-third organic matter, or 50-50, somewhere in that range, which meant there had to be whole new technologies and new technical solutions in order to make it really work well. And if it doesn't work well, we'll lose money at it. If we lose money at it, we won't do it.
Is this the sort of thing that any farmer could do?
Yes. One of the barriers is the amount of dollars that have to go in to invest in a facility of this nature. Typically on a farm you could be looking anywhere from $500,000 to $2 or $3 or $4 million, depending on the volume of manure you wanted to put through it. So what we're seeing emerge, for example, down in the Red Deer area, two or three municipalities, city effluent, the effluent from the town of Innisfail, some of the processing industry, some of the farm livestock businesses around are all looking, saying, how do we get together and do this? For any one of us, it might be too big, a little too expensive, because we haven't got that kind of money. But if we get together and do it, then maybe we can really make some tremendous gains. Second to that is, if we get a scale of an operation that gets to be a good size, then all the byproduct streams from the electrical generation, the water, the heat, the organic materials, there's enough of it there that all of a sudden other businesses say, maybe I can come in here and maybe I'll set up a business and I'll use some of the material you're not using. And I, for example, I would go down to Nebraska. Dow and Cargill put together a major manufacturing plant using corn to generate plastic, and they're selling the plastic. It's made from corn. They thought, well, that's going to be a nice business. What's happened now is a whole lot of other businesses have sprung up around it, and there's over $1 billion in annual sales of products that are not plastic related, and yet it's based on that overall complex. And so if we take that and look at some similar things that have happened in Europe around these biodigester type facilities, and we're seeing clusters of businesses starting to form. They're small businesses, they're locally owned, employ a few people, and all of those kind of things, which is just good for the local community.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay, thank you.
That was Alan Hall, Managing Director of the Alberta Agricultural Research Institute. Turning manure into biogas to produce electricity has the potential to significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This is something that Dr. Paul Hunt finds really exciting. Paul is the Vice President of Climate Change Central.
Well, this is a pilot project. It's sized to process the manure from 10,000 head of cattle. And annually, that will save approximately 10,000 tons of CO2 emissions.
Do you see this project, things like this, springing up all over?
Actually, yes, I do. The plans for the agricultural industry in this province is large expansions of intensive livestock operations, be they beef or hog. And clearly, the odors and risks of groundwater and surface water contamination are really big concerns of the surrounding communities in which these feedlots or intensive livestock operations are operated in. This type of technology will reduce and manage those risks associated with the concerns. So it's really a multiple benefit, yes.
But also on this is there's energy that's being produced out of this process. How does that fit into everything?
Absolutely. The digestion process generates methane or produces methane. That in turn is burned in a 1 megawatt reciprocating engine, which generates electricity as well as heat. The heat is fed back into the actual process to help the digestion. The electricity is fed to the local grid. This is just a pilot project, just 10,000 head of cattle, but it's producing enough power to supply the needs of 1/4 of Vegreville. This feedlot has approximately 40,000 head of cattle. If all the manure was handled in a similar fashion, anaerobically digested, and the methane that is produced from that process converted to electricity, it could power the entire town of Vegreville, which is, I understand, 6,000 people.
And then you just multiply that across the province and across the country?
You can replicate that, and of course, naturally, you would replicate the benefits coming from that, the multiple environmental benefits, as well as we're using a renewable form of energy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Cheryl.
That was Dr. Paul Hunt, Vice President of Climate Change Central. The integrated manure utilization system developed by the Alberta Research Council at Highland Feeders has captured the attention of people beyond Alberta's borders. The federal stakeholders came from across Canada to be present at the IMUS launch. Dr. Carlos Monreal is with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Ottawa, where he is the science advisor on environment and energy.
Agriculture contributes roughly with about 10% of all greenhouse gas emissions produced in Canada. And I think that to put things in perspective, I think that treating, for example, 30% of all the animal manures produced in Canada by anaerobic digestion, okay, this is the technology that we have here in our back in this project, we could reduce 30% of all the greenhouse gas emission produced by agriculture. Okay, so that is a little bit of an example on how powerful this technology can be and impact on have a very positive impact on the environment.
What do you hope to gain from this project?
Knowledge. I think that we hope to get information on the performance of this anaerobic digestion and how this state-of-the-art technology can be used in small and large farm operations and how farmers can benefit from this from the point of view of economics, and to also help improve and enhance the quality of soil, water and air.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Carlos Monreal, the Science Advisor on Environment and Energy with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. As Paul Hunt mentioned earlier, power generated by the IMUS plant at Highland Feeders provides a significant amount of electricity used by the people in Vegreville. That's something that's caught the attention of municipalities across the country. Rob Barkwell is the Green Fund's project manager for the Canadian Federation of Municipalities.
This type of IMUS project is exactly the type of project we look to fund on behalf of municipal green infrastructure. And in this case, producing green power is the primary benefit that FCM is very interested in.
With all the smaller communities around Alberta, do you see something like this being able to feed electricity to them a lot easier?
Definitely, and we think this type of project is very replicable, which means that we can see this type of project being done in numerous municipalities, not just in Alberta, but all across Canada.
What sort of an issue is power for smaller communities?
Well, power itself is an issue, but green power is the primary the primary benefit of this type of project. I mean, it's displacing fossil fuel based power.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was Rob Barkwell, the Green Fund's project manager with the Canadian Federation of Municipalities. Another federal agency that helped turn the IMIS plant into a biogas reality was Natural Resources Canada, and that's through its TEAM initiative. TEAM stands for Technology Early Action Measures, and it put $750,000 towards the development of the Alberta Research Council's manure utilization project. Dwayne Smith is the Climate Change Technology Officer with TEAM.
Well, first off, it seems like a great project, and the Catalcos have done a great job executing it. I see it as something that could be done across Canada. There's still some work to do to prove the technology, to make sure that it's a viable technology, but the Catalcos are kind of taking the first step that's required to show that it works and to show that you can make it economically as well. Show the tech, you know, so you have the combination of the technology and the economics that make it worthwhile. So we hope that once they show it, they can continue to expand their business, and maybe others will kind of join in as well.
Are there any other similar projects across the country?
Yes, we've invested in another anaerobic digester project in Ontario. The technology is slightly different, and there are a few other digester-type projects, but they're on a smaller scale.
How could it be different? I mean, you put the manure in and you get the gas out.
Well, there's different... it's all about the bacteria inside, so there's different temperatures and different ways to optimize the bacteria to get a result. So, yeah, it kind of... On the grander scale of things, it is very similar, but once you get into the nuts and bolts, there is a lot of variation that you can do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Dwayne Smith, the Climate Change Technology Officer with TEAM, a Natural Resources Canada initiative. He was in Vegreville for the grand opening of the Alberta Research Council's new biogas plant, IMIS, based on the Integrated Manure Utilization System. I also spoke with Dr. Xiaomei Li of the Alberta Research Council, Mike Catalco of Highland Feeders, as well as Paul Hunt, Alan Hall, Carlos Monreal, and Rob Barkwell. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Alberta Research Council, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Sustainable Forest Management Network, the Alberta Conservation Association, Science Alberta Foundation, Ducks Unlimited Canada, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, and the NSERC ACR Integrated Landscape Management Chair. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.